Welcome to The Contractor Commute, a podcast by Congenius designed to fit right into your daily drive. Whether you're a small business owner, employee, or off contracting on your own, we've got advice, stories, and leadership tips to help you out along the way.
Well, guys, I have a lot of fun watching different aviation videos, YouTube series on, you know, there's particularly one pilot, he's a commercial pilot that I watched a few of his videos. And he breaks down different aviation incidents and talks about what went wrong. And which was really some interesting things come out of that as it relates to our podcast series we're doing today, is how much you see experience, professionalism, highly trained. This is like one of the most regulated industries, aviation. And even with highly trained people with certifications and regulations and licensure and all of the rest of it, things still go wrong.
Right.
But one of the interesting things that you see, because it's so safe, is you have checklists for everything, regardless of how experienced you are. They don't assume anything to happen by itself. And I think it just struck me as being so different from just about every other industry where we just expect good things to happen without planning.
Like you build the plane while it's flying versus...
Right, which is kind of like, yeah, we'll sort that out later. And because of like life and death type scenarios, flying a plane, I mean, you have a 747 with 350 people on board. Like you don't just kind of play around with, well, let's see what happens, you know?
Right.
And so there's this expectation that everything will be defined before you fly, you have a checklist. Before you land, you have a checklist. If something malfunctions, you have a checklist. And I thought this is so dissimilar from everything that you see in project management, particularly in small business. And I thought it'd be really fun to kind of get into a lot of the reasons why you need process in business, and in particular when you're managing projects.
Before we get into the process side, are you going to be a pilot someday? I think we all want to know.
Yeah, for sure.
You definitely want to.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I know. I think it's interesting because I'm very risk averse in some areas of life.
I don't think you're risk averse at all.
I don't do things like jumping out of a plane. I don't do bungee jumping. Yeah. I don't, you know, parachuting. Like all of those things don't sound like good things to do.
Like entrepreneurial risks you're good with, but not like
things
life
that
and
I
death.
Have more control over. I guess I'm okay
you're
with.
You're controlling your destiny and your fate.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And it's more of a recent thing. Like I was actually not all that keen on flying until the last maybe 10 years and then just got into it more and more.
Until you found all the checklists and processes.
Yeah, I think I found agency and be like, yeah, if you follow the checklist, you have a 99.99% chance of making
it. Pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. So I think I'd like to fly a plane. That's good.
And then you get to hang around with other people that are pilots or you talk about, you know, I don't know. It's a whole cool thing that and my boys are into it as well. I think I have four boys and we have a flight simulator set up and we'll do stuff at home and like, you know, and then my youngest one, so for them it's about Daddy, crash the plane. Like, no.
We have to follow the checklist. We have to succeed.
Yeah, my oldest is like, no, we don't crash planes. Anyway, but for them, it's like, let's go have some fun.
That's good. No, but kind of tying into that, we're going to hit a series right now. We're going to have three episodes, the plan. I guess we'll see if we wander and we discover that there's more episodes that we need. But we want to help you guys manage projects like a boss, you know?
Let's go.
And today, really like this episode is – just to help understand the impact of processes. And then from there, we'll help identify the processes that you need. So a little bit more practical, checklists, you know, some of those kinds of things. And then just give shortcuts on how to implement them. You know, I think that's kind of the goal of just of this series, just to kind of set that up.
Yeah. So. And we're really looking forward to that part of this because there's a lot of things we've developed over the years, different checklists we've built, and I think stuff that we can share to hopefully shortcut your journey to process.
Yeah.
Because it's not fun.
Yeah.
Number one, I mean, I think right at the beginning, you're thinking, oh my goodness, another overwhelming thing. Mm-hmm. But number one, the reason why we need process is good things don't happen by themselves without a defined process. And I think a lot of times we talked about small business owners kind of simple oversimplifying things. But the second law of thermodynamics, you know, the universe heads towards chaos. Like this is like your business with a process.
You're headed towards chaos.
Headed toward chaos. I mean, don't ask me how I know that. I mean, it's not like I, you know, personal experience or anything.
Yeah, but
yes, I've seen situations in my business where I had this expectation. I'm hiring people, professionals that should know what they're doing, and just turn them loose and good things should happen.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. Right. And not everybody loves process. So I think it's important to understand why we're even doing it in the first place to hopefully motivate some people that maybe don't have the motivation just in themselves to.
Yeah. And I think this is this misunderstanding that if you have good people, that's all that's necessary. They replace process. And I think if you go back to that airline reference, you're hiring competent, trained professionals that have all of the things that you want as a pilot. But at the same time, you still have process.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's one of the things we miss sometimes is just saying, well, I have good people, so therefore I'm good. Good people are less important than you think. You can take somebody that's unskilled, potentially, give them a job with process and say, this is the repeatable thing we're going to do. We're going to work through this every time where you're saying, this is the path to follow. And the other thing about process, it really does eliminate a lot of the bad people you'd otherwise run across.
Right.
You know, like the unqualified people, you know, that exposes the fact that they're not qualified to do a job that you hired them to do.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that you talked about too earlier in just why having a process is like you have to have something to be able to improve, you know, like so something to build from. And I think the analogy you used was like if you make a meal off of something without a recipe, then you're going to create something different the next time, the second time around.
Which could be fun, but if you want to improve.
If you're a chef, maybe that's what you want to do. But but if you're trying to replicate something consistently and as efficiently as possible, which most people in project management, or if you're thinking about managing multiple projects at the same time, efficiency is a big piece.
Yes.
How do we do that? How do we replicate that? And I think that's kind of the point, the why behind it, you know, that we talked about earlier too.
Yep. So you need to find process in order to have something to improve.
Yeah.
It's not defined, you know, no target. You get a bullseye every time.
Yeah. So define project management just like to its core and kind of like what we're trying to tackle, because I think we have some people listening who maybe are project managers and then a lot of people listening who it's one of the hats that they wear. You know, it's not just like an Indeed listing for a project manager. You know, like that's not necessarily what we're talking about either.
Right. That is the tricky part, because a lot of you guys are needing to manage projects, but that might not even be the thing you like doing.
Right.
A lot of times it's about a necessary step to get there. You would rather hire somebody to go do that for you, but something unnecessary, you know, that you have to do yourself. It's a good point that I think at its core, process is project management. And I think a lot of times we tend to probably maybe push back against that a bit, because surely there's more to it than that. And there is. And I think sometimes we think, well, yeah, that's nice, but someday we'll do that. But right now we just need to get stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like going to the how do you create time to actually build it in, right? When you do have so many things that are on fire all the time, when you do have, you know, 15 hats that you're wearing, like how do you actually create time to do it, I guess would be the question. So maybe you can just kind of like dive in deeper into project management specifically. Like how would you define it in terms of, process?
Yes.
How would you define it?
Yeah. And I think this is this first step of understanding what it is that you're doing.
Right.
And it sounds obviously very basic, but scope is critical. What is it that we're trying to achieve? And it's very broad in what you're trying to understand as well, because to one person, what's acceptable might be different than what you actually need to build for this project. So it's really defining, really understanding, not defining necessarily, because that might be pre-construction,
right,
coming up with like, okay, well, what is it? The architects and engineers are coming up with something that you're building, or maybe you're part of the design process defining the scope. But as a project manager, specific to project management, you need to understand that scope better than anybody.
Yeah.
What is it that we're doing? To what quality level and what budget, what time constraints are we under? That's part of like what your deliverables. You need to understand your deliverables better than anybody. And I think that's one thing that we've struggled with at times when we're trying to manage something effectively is, what is it that we're trying to do? You know, you can have the best engineers, you can have the best you can have the best craftsmen,
right?
But without understanding what it is that we're trying to achieve, they can go overboard or underboard,
right?
With what it is that you're trying to get done.
Yeah.
So number one is scope.
Yeah.
So
which pre-construction, you kind of pointed out little nugget for that, like build it out in pre-construction and like have the specifics for what's being done, so that way it can tee up effective project management.
It's a great point, because you save yourself a real headache later on. Getting that clear with the customer up front as well. What is it we're trying to do? When are we trying to get it done by? What budget are we working with? If that's clear before you even sold the job, fantastic.
Everybody's on the same page from the beginning, and you're able to build from there.
So, a good, clear, clean, thorough scope. Yeah. You need that to be successful.
Nice.
And obviously, then the next step is execute.
Sure.
You need to be able to deliver on those things. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that is what we think of project management as, being able to deliver on
sure.
something, right? But without understanding what is it we're delivering on,
right.
we can't execute on it.
Sure.
So the quality, mm-hmm. The budget, the schedule. And the other thing that gets missed in some of that as well is, mm-hmm. can we do it with integrity?
Right.
Can we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do the right thing? Can we execute? But can we do it with a clear conscience?
Mm-hmm.
Can we actually have a good reputation at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's good. So what about communication, right?
Oh,
we've talked about communication. That's obviously a big piece of – and I think a lot of times when we talk to project managers and people in it, like, it's so much associated to, like, are we on schedule and mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. which – in construction, my view of it is nothing ever is, right?
Yes.
You're always waiting, and it's construction in any manner, and building software is construction too. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
building on a digital platform instead of an actual building or a home or whatever it is. And I think that a lot of times, you know, you can have a lot of processes in place when you're talking executing something, or you mm-hmm. can have, the best scheduling software. You can have the best, some of those processes built, but mm-hmm. with a lack of communication,
yeah.
it's only half of the recipe,
yes.
if you will.
Yeah. Communication is what differentiates an excellent experience from a mediocre one or a really terrible one.
Yeah.
One of my mentors, he's a great designer and craftsman, and one of his really amazing skills is communication. Mm-hmm. He would be able to take a situation where anybody else that I know would have a terrible relationship with their client. You know, this was back in COVID days when
yeah.
materials were tough to get, prices were out of control. And he managed all of that so well because he communicated so really effectively. And mm-hmm. I think part of that was really candor. He used candor.
Yeah.
He was able to set negative expectations in the sense of, well, this is going to be difficult. He would hit stuff directly on. He would confront stuff and really take ownership of it as well. Well, we're doing our very best in this situation. Here's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't excuses. It was just direct. If we made a mistake, we can acknowledge, well, you know, there's something that didn't go according to the way we wanted to.
Yeah.
And he didn't hide anything. He didn't pretend things were different. He was just really, really effective at communication. And this is this customer experience.
Mm, that's good.
Well, at the end of that, he's getting an amazing review. He's getting awards, design awards, building awards from, mm-hmm. from a customer that otherwise he shouldn't be getting that from.
Yeah, they should have been ticked.
Yeah, right.
The process
right.
was not
and I'm
smooth.
Thinking, how is
yeah.
this happening?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Budget overruns. Like there's so much to be gained from very thorough and upfront communication
yeah.
as well. Like,
yeah.
communicating in arrears is terrible.
Right.
You know, nobody wants surprises. Oh, by the way, that thing we promised you is wrong. Like, but mm-hmm. if you can confront it up front and say, you know what, we're behind schedule. Here's where we
yeah.
need to be. And deal with it as cleanly and as thoroughly as you can up front.
That's good.
It really does. It makes such an impact. So I'm glad you brought
yeah.
the communication
yeah.
point up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then project management, you know, like I think one of the things we've talked about is, and we'll touch on it more later too, but it's in construction. You're not just managing one project.
Mm-hmm.
You're managing multiple for the most part.
Yes.
And so being able to multiply repeating processes over and over again, allowing you to actually scale
mm-hmm.
is something that we've talked about a lot of
yeah.
like, hey, how do you make this replicable so that way you can multiply,
mm-hmm.
you know, across all of your projects
yeah.
concurrently. So,
it's really fun in construction where a lot of times people look at what it's involved with effectively managing something and say, yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're starting your business, it seems really simple. And I think one of the things that I even had early on, small projects, small
mm-hmm.
problems, small, mm-hmm. like everything was very manageable, right?
Yeah, right.
And as soon as you got to the point where I had 7-8 jobs going on at the same time, crews here, crews there, like
yeah.
you multiply a process, it's like multiplying that recipe.
Mm-hmm.
If that recipe had too much salt, man, oh man, you multiply that things times 10 and it's like, what happened? And that's what we ended up with is this situation where, you know, stuff is hitting the fan
yeah.
and you're saying, how did this happen? But it
yeah.
was multiplying bad process.
Right.
And so it does expose it. So, I mean, I think really at its core, we have the scope, we have the execute, we have
yeah.
the communication, and then we have the multiplication or being able to scale it.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
project management.
There you
That's
go.
Core.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's dive into like impact on your business, right? We talked about the why. We talked about, you know, what it is,
mm-hmm.
What, you know, components are in it. But now, I mean, the meat of it is really like, what's the impact of
mm-hmm.
of having processes in your business?
Well, we talked about customer experience, but I think that's number one.
Yeah.
If you want a happy customer, all of that stuff. I mean, you look like an absolute boss if you know what you're doing,
yeah.
right? I mean, if you have a process
yeah.
defined,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times they don't have to be perfect processes, but you have a process
yeah.
and you can point to Then I think there's some hacks we'll get into the next episode on this and how to build processes and not overstate them either. Because when you're early on in a process and you tell somebody how it is and it has a flaw and somebody says, you know, moron, you know what I mean? Instead of being able to say, you know what, we're trying something new. But we'll get into that in the next episode. I'm going to hit myself.
Yeah,
but,
I think too, when it comes to like the customer experience side, like having those processes already defined, like allows you to pull from that even in the pre-construction phase too. Of like, I love the sales side of it. So I'm going to like just keep going back to pre-construction, even though we're talking about project management. But I'm like, if you are bringing up your project management process when you're trying to win the job, man, you're going to like set yourself apart from every other bid that they're getting on a specific project. If they're like, oh, wow, it's going to be so smooth because you're like educating them on the process along the way. You'll probably win more customers too.
Totally.
By having processes in your project management, you know? So
and what the customer experience comes down to, did we keep our commitments? Do we exceed our promises? Was the, you know, this whole like how to, you know, it's not just about the destination, but the journey. And those processes enable a great customer experience.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So good. And I think schedule too, we've talked about that a little bit. It's very difficult to stay on schedule. But again, from the customer experience side, if you're hitting all those details that we mentioned and, you know, in what defines project or project management specifically.
Yes.
Having the communication side like allows you, even if something's off schedule, like you're communicating up front, or maybe you're even able to see the trend of where things are going to where you're able to communicate up front before you even missed a schedule.
Yeah.
You're able to proactively communicate on some of those things.
One thing, kind of a sneak peek at a checklist we developed was in the remodel context that I spent most of my construction days in, was having this thorough checklist. And when something was identified very early on and being like, well, there's a supply chain issue with this product, we had insight because of a checklist that we had something coming up that was going to be an issue we had to deal with later.
Yeah.
So process really enables customer satisfaction.
Yeah. So good. So good.
And it's financial health.
Yeah. Which is why you're doing what business.
And yeah. Well, exactly. Probably. Not a charity.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Profitability, budget. You know, just think about the efficiency you gain from process. I mean, this is sometimes the difference between making money and losing money.
Right.
You end up at the tail end of a job and all of these little things that were checklists early on. I mean, you could just steamroll through a job. One of my buddies, he got to the point of having a checklist and just powered through a job that, you know, he did way better than he thought he could because everything was like clockwork.
Yeah.
Everything was laid out ahead of time.
Yeah.
And that is fun. Yeah. And if you're in a spot today where you're just thinking, well, and there's a lot of blame that could happen in all this too. Like you can point to a lot of things that are outside of your control, and that can be true.
Yeah.
But your best chance of success is having stuff defined.
Well, and probably limits the punch list part of the job too, which is where you lose a bunch of money at the end because you miss stuff in the middle, you know?
Yes.
It's good. What about employee satisfaction? We've talked about this employee satisfaction too.
Yes, this is a big one. One of the things that's sort of it's just a drain on our teams is when they have to go back, they have to deal with stuff that's not planned. Where's the product? Where's this? Why can I not get this? Why can I not do my job?
Right.
Oh. And checklists really the process can really enable people to do their jobs efficiently. Mm-hmm. And when we're efficient, well, we love that. I mean, you know, it's just like we're able to crush it. Yeah. We're able to move through it. I mean, that's motivating to a team. Otherwise, you start getting blaming, infighting. Mm-hmm. Where's the bonuses? If you don't have money, you can't give anybody a bonus. Mm-hmm. Where's the attaboy? The morale of the team. There starts getting all this finger pointing. And really, the buck stops with the business owner.
Yeah.
And if you're in that position and things are inefficient, for whatever reason, your team looks at you as a poor business manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody's going to have an opinion of how your business should be run. Everybody listening probably knows that. But yeah, no, that's really good.
People would judge us harshly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then consistency. We talked about it a little bit ago of just like the efficiency, like the impact of processes on business and, you know, on project management is efficiency. Like that's the goal, right? So you can get projects move them in, move them out, you know what I mean? As fast as possible on budget. You know, a lot of the things we talked about, customer experience, financial health, employee satisfaction, and of course, consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that you pointed out is like doing, you know, one project at a time, anybody can do it once. You know, which is why I hear a lot of times, you know, I have people who think that they can GC their own home or whatever that may be. And it's like, yeah, that may be true. Eventually. Like you probably will miss some stuff and you probably will pay more, you know, at the end of the project. Right. Like we all, I think.
But if your time's cheap,
you
can eventually get through it.
Yeah, totally. But it's a totally different ballgame when you have 7 projects going on at the same time, 14 projects going on at the same time, whatever the scale may be.
Yep.
Do you have any stories of like when you went from like 3 to 4 projects at a time, mm-hmm. or 5 to 6, you know what I mean? Like, do you have any like horror stories of when you?
Oh, you want to go the horror story
route? Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh,
impact, you know,
like, yes. Usually that's well, one of the interesting things was in that whole thing was I went from being a very small, working with mostly my brother and a couple of other carpenters to trying to scale beyond that. We had work lined up, lots of opportunity, lots of things. And I love business. I love process.
Yeah.
So, next thing we know, we were selling more jobs and, mm-hmm. and the number one thing hit us right out of the blank was the scope part. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that you needed to scale something beyond one job, you needed to have the scope lined up beyond what you could with one project or two or three.
Yeah.
Because now you're doing 4 or 5 and all of those little weaknesses started multiplying themselves.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the scope's not lined up. You have customers that are saying, well, no, that's not what I wanted. I wanted this and they want you to pay for it. And so that part hits us right initially. And then the other part was trying to get product lined up for all these different things, getting things confused, who's planned for what. And then you start getting the whole, you know, sending crews out and understanding, well, who needs to do what where. And even when you think you're organized, you start realizing, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah. Like I thought I had processes.
Yes. And then you have people coming back. And the amazing thing about it was – they had no, my team had no responsibility whatsoever in that outcome.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, you told me to go there and it didn't work and here I am. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And this was kind of the thing, what really was an eye-opening moment of like the aviation industry. Mm-hmm. Where's the checklist, boss? Where's all the stuff that needs to happen? You know, we need a defined process. You know, you need other people involved in this. I was told to be put, install the trim. Where's the trim?
That's good.
You know,
Where's the specifics?
Yeah. And you know, and I think, more specifically to a story, we were doing a remodel, and this was a basement remodel, I was sending out, and the crazy thing about it, Kinsey, was that I didn't have the time to try to manage all of that myself anymore, and that was the debilitating thing about it, was because there was so much volume that I couldn't do damage control. I'm sending other people on my behalf to make it worse.
Couldn't even.
And it wasn't their fault.
Right.
And I had to really own that and say, okay, now, and that was that moment where I'm saying, okay, we're getting a process.
Yeah. You're like this is the pain moment.
We will not do this twice. Fool me or whatever it is. You know, it's the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me kind of thing. You know, it's kind of not quite a great fit, but it was definitely, we're not going through this twice.
Yeah, that's good. So, I mean, do you feel like those outcomes are like really control? I know we believe this, but like, maybe for somebody who's like, gosh, it's a lot of work to build processes, things like that. Do you feel like all those outcomes are really controlled by like your processes at the end of the day? Like as you reflect on those stories, do you actually think that if you had a process up front, like you would have gotten out of, 90% of them, 80%? I mean, like give me a percentage.
It's interesting you bring that up because I think there's a lot of excuses, a lot of blame that we can cast around here. Because I mean, sometimes we can point to our teams like, huge mistake. I mean, give an example of that. I had a project manager working on a project where the countertops were ordered incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And it felt like 100% his fault. He had not communicated with the customer or the designer. And he felt like somebody else handled it, and it hadn't been handled. Next thing you know, the shop shows up to install the wrong tops.
Shoot.
Wrong color. Shoot. Completely wrong. And she has her checklist. She has her sheet. The customer and says, "This is what we ordered.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we wanted.
Yeah.
Wrong profile. The whole thing was screwed up." And it was in that moment where we have a very a decently expensive countertop.
Yeah.
And the tendency was to be okay. This guy screwed up, instead of being like, "Well, did we have a defined process that he needed to follow? Mm-hmm. Was all of that signed off? Was was he following standard operating procedure?" I think even with the best people, without that. So at that point being.
Yeah.
We can say, was it him that screwed up or was it the process?
Yeah.
And without a process, you can't blame people.
You can't blame anybody
else. Yeah, right. That's good. I think that's the thing that we can really limit our ability to learn if we blame the situations around us. The same thing with product. Oh, well, vendors are slow, or I couldn't source that material fast, so it's holding up my job. And it's like those stupid vendors. You know, there's a lot of excuses, but really, can we make it better with process?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, totally.
And to what extent? All the problems don't go away.
Yeah.
But you're able to manage them so much more effectively because you have awareness of where things are at. You have awareness of being like, well, that's going to be 3 months. So why am I sending this guy out to do that? If I'm waiting 3 months, send him over to this other project. Like you have this situational awareness where you're not multiplying error. Yeah. Going back to the original story, you see some of the worst incidents of mess ups in whatever industry when there's multiplication of error.
Yeah.
It's overreaction. It's, you know, well, we made a mistake here, then we made a mistake to compensate for the mistake. Next thing you know, the entire thing is just...
It's just messed up.
Yeah, yeah. Totally messed up. So yeah. I think there's more to it than we want to give it credit for.
Yeah.
It's not everything, though.
Totally.
You do need good people.
Well, yeah.
You do need to have integrity in your business. You do need to have, you know, vision. You need to have motivation. You need to have, like, energy and enthusiasm. Like, there's a lot of things that go into a good business, but... Right. Process is a huge part of it.
Yeah,
process. And we can make it fun too. Like, yeah. We're going to get more into that in the next episode.
No, I know. I'm excited about, like, the practicality of, like, where we're taking this. And, like, mm-hmm. even just you hinted at it earlier of, like, giving some checklists. Like, we were going back through some of, like, your old checklists that you had from projects. And I'm like, dude, we need to give these to our listeners, you know, whatever. I think you said that.
Yeah. You're the motivation behind it. I'm like, well, it might be okay. And you're like, let's go.
Look, seems awesome. From a starting point, you know, of, like, hey, I'm not saying that
you'll need to customize them.
For sure. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, as final recaps, like, I think one of the things just to maybe reflect on and, like, evaluate yourself, evaluate your business, like, how mm-hmm. are you doing with customer experience, mm-hmm. right? How's your financial health? You know, mm-hmm. we talked about that mm-hmm. too earlier. We kind of broke these things out. How is employee morale? Mm-hmm. You can have good people, but make them great with processes is kind of our point there.
Yep.
And then we want you to consistently achieve great outcomes,
you
know? And so processes, we think processes enable that.
Yeah. And if you're struggling in any of those areas, this could be the area where you're struggling is really with process.
Right.
And as opposed to any of the other things you could be blaming right now. So if the customer experience, you're like, man, we're really struggling there, or maybe you're doing great there.
Yeah.
And it's like, but we're having a tough time being profitable, or maybe it's, you know, the employee part about it is struggling. I mean, it's very tough to nail all four of those areas.
Totally. Yeah. One, I think it ebbs and flows too. Like at one point you might be crushing one.
Right.
And then
being
the
able
next
to be
day
consistent.
You're not, you know,
that's
tricky. So
yeah.
Any other final thoughts?
You can't afford not to have great processes. It's one of the reasons why aviation is so safe. Mm-hmm. Checklists for everything. Everything is followed those processes. And I think you also, never assume things are going to happen great by themselves. Mm-hmm. You have a plan for things. You have if contingency plans, if this happens, even the most routine things are mapped out.
Yeah.
It builds this confidence you have in your business. There's some of the best businesses that we use, the vendors that you guys love to work with, mm-hmm. the most consistent experiences you have where people greet you by your name, those things don't happen by themselves.
Right.
Yes, you can have good people.
Right.
But without that training and being able to say, you know what, we're going to wave at people when they show up at this building. Mm-hmm. We're going to say hi to them. We're going to greet them with professionally. We're going to give them an awesome experience. That's process.
Yeah.
And really then the downstream effect of that, the impact on your business health, your bottom dollar is enabled by process. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah. Subscribe so you don't miss it. We want you to see the practical steps, and we'll see you back in a couple weeks.
All right.